As Steve said when he was passing me, he says, "Let me rattle my saber." So I think all of your attentions have been caught. Let's take a look at two passages of Scripture. If you'll turn with me first to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, we'll read a few verses here. And then we're going to read a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So if you're ambidextrous, you can be going to the second one. But Matthew chapter 26, we're going to read verses 26 to 29. And it says, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I think by just that reading alone, you know what the topic of our considerations will be today. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23, this is Paul the apostle speaking. "For I, that is Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." Our God and Father, we come into your holy presence this morning, again considering this table that we have just gathered around. I pray as we consider a few thoughts that they would be encouraging to us, heartwarming, and a motivation to continue this practice of worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love, for our salvation done at your cost, and we do proclaim your wonders amongst one another, but most of all to you, Almighty God. We offer these things up now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to pull this aside a little bit, and I may wander a tiny bit, try to come back to my notes. But this morning we're looking from the perspective of God's word at this mangled loaf of bread. And we're looking at this stack of small cups that are filled with grape juice. And what I want to do is consider this for a few minutes, because there's something that I have grown up with and have greatly appreciated, and it's this table. It's this table. Now, I would just note, as we read about it in this passage of Scripture, it tells us about this part of the ceremony. But you know what? In God's working in the church today, he has given the church, the body of Jesus Christ, tremendous liberties to worship him. If you think back to Israel, they didn't have liberty. Cut the animal this way, wash this part, remove this part, offer this way, take the ashes here, do this. This only can be done by this individual. Just point after point after point. But my encouragement to you this morning is the Lord Jesus Christ, when he instituted this table as a table of remembrance, it was done in its in its simplicity. But there's nothing to say that we cannot continue to buoy it up and make it an offering to Almighty God. And that's one of the things that as I have grown up in the assembly movement over the years, I have come to grow with fantastic appreciation. I've attended other God-loving and honorable gatherings to Jesus Christ, and in some cases they will celebrate this once a month, maybe once a quarter. They will go ahead and put it on at the end of the 11 o'clock hour, cut the sermon a little bit short, and then have it as something that is just an addition to that particular one. Now, before we become prideful and say, they don't know what they're doing, they are obeying God and the Lord Jesus Christ in remembering him in breaking the bread and drinking from the cup. What I love, and I don't know when it happened, is a group of believers said, this table is so precious. This table is so central, so focal. Let's give it a remembrance service to celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ. And so all of those years, I remember coming to the assemblies that I would be attending, and this table was always central. And as we have done this morning, starting at 9 o'clock and finishing a little after 10, we brought offerings to God, magnifying what he did in all of our lives. Now, as I sit there and I look through the scriptures, we call this table, this service in the assemblies, by a couple names. We call it the Lord's Supper, and we can find that in 1 Corinthians 11:20. We just read that a moment ago. We also have it described as the Lord's Table, as I've been referring to it now. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. And it's also referred to as a table of communion, the communion of the saints joining together to remember. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 10:16. It's also referred to as the breaking of bread, as in Acts 2:42, Acts 20, verse 7, and a couple other references. So those names are all applied, and we know what they mean, but maybe those that are outside in the world don't understand it. But again, when the Lord Jesus Christ instituted it that night, he took two simple things. He took bread. Notice I said bread, not a loaf of bread. I'll comment on that in a second. He took bread, and he took the fruit of the vine. And I'll comment about that in a second. And he took those two things that were a common part of the Passover meal, and he instituted this feast as a reminder of his death that was coming. Just think of what it came out of. It was coming out of the Passover celebration. What's significant about the Passover celebration? Well, we could go back to Exodus, and we would learn there that the land of Egypt was about to fall under the judgment of Almighty God, and all firstborn were to be killed. And it was going to be a deified killing that would take place. But God said, take a lamb, watch it for a few days, cut its throat, gather the blood and put it on the lintel and the doorposts of your house. Go into your house and roast it. And put your staff in your hand and put your robes on with your belt. And get ready to travel because tomorrow something significant is going to happen. And the death angel came to the land of Egypt, and every house where the death angel saw, where the Lord saw blood on the doorpost and the lintel, he passed over. Passed over. A picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ was coming to do. We have the John the Baptist referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, at the time that he instituted this table, was coming as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the whole world. He was going to the cross. What more fitting event could he do to the end of the Passover celebration, or close to the end of the Passover celebration, take two simple things and say, now, I'm the Lamb of God, and I'm going to the cross, and I want you to remember me. I want you to remember what I've been working on. Again, it's very, very simple in this form, yet my goodness, do we ever go ahead and mess things up. I have heard of assemblies that will split apart because there's more than one loaf on the table. When I was at Don Valley Bible Chapel in Toronto, we had 300 people. There's not going to be anything left of one loaf, and so we had two loaves that would get broken. You know what? It's okay. It's okay. It's not 100% the mechanics here. It's what we have to offer to God. Oh, I've heard of assemblies that will sit there and say, well, grape juice is not, that's not what they would have been drinking. It's got to be wine. Again, Don Valley Bible Chapel, where I spent most of my years in the assemblies, we had wine. And I was not saved, but I had led them to believe I was saved. And so when the cup would come, ooh, I had to have a good mouthful. My heart wasn't right. But in that instance, we were using a cup and we would use wine because all those lips that would touch it, there was a concern about germs. But we would use wine in those instances. And again, with an assembly of 300, we had six cups on that table. And it would take a grand amount of time to pass those all along. In fact, we had chalices on the side of the chapel. So that as we would get halfway through, the servers would refill those cups because there were so many partaking. The details don't matter. We ought not to be breaking up fellowship with one another because we use multiple plastic cups, or we use one cup, or we use grape juice, or we use wine. If we really want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in this illustration, this is the wrong thing. Because what was the bread that was on the Passover table? It was unleavened bread. Brothers and sisters, don't get caught up with the minutia. Pay attention to what this table is all about. That's what I'd like to spend the last few minutes that we have here just considering. Very simple in its form, and yet profound in its practice. And so heartwarming in the way that the assembly movement has given a one-hour memory or remembrance feast to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember that when I was in Chicago studying there, I would end up going an hour and a half to get to an assembly. I would go on three different trains just because I wanted to get to where they didn't just celebrate this, but they celebrated a whole service that focused on this. This part is inspired. The service is not, but it is God-honoring. And I would travel great distances to go. Another thing, assemblies ought not to split over whether you have it at 9 o'clock in the morning or you have it at 6 o'clock in the evening. These are things we should not be focusing on. But what is this table so important for, and why do we in the assemblies make it so important? It's because in Luke chapter 22, verse 19, which is, again, one of the three gospel references to the Lord's table, it is to remember Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to proclaim the death of Christ until he comes. So a couple thoughts there. Number one, it's in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. I need reminding because I'm pretty dull of memory. And if I didn't have this table on a regular basis to remind me of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me, I wonder how long it would be before it became just immaterial, unimportant, or a consideration on an average basis. The fact that it is a reminder for me on a weekly basis is encouraging to me. I can't walk away from this service that we had this morning without wearing the fragrance of the offerings that were offered up to Almighty God. And I need that reminder, and that's why I love on this table. It says, in remembrance of me. It's not me. It's in remembrance of him. And why is that so important? Because he is the center of it all. He is the center of it all. If Jesus Christ did not come to die upon the cross, in the plan of God's exercise to make this salvation a reality, we would have nothing. There'd be no reason for us to gather here. But what better and fitting thing to be able to take an hour a week to come and say, let's remember what he did for us. Talk this morning of his suffering. Talked about the Father having pleasure in crushing him. We talk about his death. We talk about his resurrection. We talk about the effectiveness of his sacrifice. Not one sin escaped the effectiveness of his blood. Every sin was atoned for. These are things that we need to be considering and remembering. And so I need that reminder. And so if I come into a town, if I'm visiting, if I'm in the hotel, I will always, as Glenn Dulligdish, be checking out, is there an assembly? Because I want to be immersed in the offerings that we make to Almighty God. And I want to be reminded in the midst of my travels that Jesus Christ died for me. The other thing that I keep reminding myself of is that it is a proclamation of Christ's death until he come. Brothers and sisters, just think of this. The Lord Jesus Christ comes today. If we hear the voice of the archangel, if we hear the trumpet of God, and we are caught up, this is done. This is done. Because we are remembering his death until he comes. Now, that brings two things that are encouraging and a reminder to us. It reminds us of his death, but he's not dead today. Reminds us of his death, but he's not dead today. There's no other religion in the world that has a Savior that died and came back from the grave. Oh, there are different stories and whatnot, but that is the uniqueness of this salvation that God has bought and brought and put into our lives and made available. And so, in remembrance of Jesus Christ, and we proclaim his death. He died. His body was broken. When we break that bread, we're remembering that his body was broken. When we take the cup, we are remembering his lifeblood was poured out. But we only do that until he comes back. This has an ending date. It will be something that will come to an end when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Just about out of time, so let me just share a couple things. I'm starting to get to be an old man. And so there's a few things that older brothers would share with me as I was growing up in the assemblies to help me to learn a little bit more about the Lord's table. A thing that they would encourage me over and over again is, number one, this is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all about what he did for us. This is all about how he pleased Almighty God. This is the only service that I know of that on a regular basis is held with this communication intended. This is the one time that we're not coming to, as I'm doing right now, give you instruction. The Lord's table is the one time everything should be heavenward. Everything from our hearts should be an offering, a sweet-smelling savor to God, acknowledging that his Son did all things well, that it pleased the Father, and yet he's sitting at the right hand of Almighty God today. He did it well. We sit there and we reflect, it is finished. There's nothing that any of us can contribute. Tell him about it. Tell him about it. Tell him how thankful you are about this salvation. Bring your offerings to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God the Father. We in the audience are going to be sitting there going, amen, amen. Oh, praise God for that. And we go with the odor of the sweet smell of the offerings of the saints as we go. This one is something that an older man shared with me. He says, silence is okay. Silence is okay. One of the things that I was taught at an early age about the Lord's Supper is that it is spirit-led. It is spirit-led. It is God leading men audibly to share a passage of Scripture, introduce a hymn, or to give a thought, or to lead in prayer. All, again, focused to God. But silence is okay, because worship still can take place in the midst of silence. Our dear sisters, you don't have the liberty in the assembly movement to stand up and share physically, but you certainly can be standing up in your heart offering up praise to Almighty God. Another thing about offerings, you've got to get prepared. How can you expect to come here and with 30 seconds of, oh, here's a good verse, and now you're going to stand up? Spend time Sunday morning, Saturday evening, meditating upon what is coming tomorrow, coming later in the morning, and prepare in your heart what joy and glory and exaltation you have for the Lord Jesus Christ and for God. And if the Spirit moves you then to stand and share it, then with boldness stand up and present your offering to Almighty God. Still come if you're not prepared. But just realize, if you didn't prepare an offering, you audibly may not have something to share. But this table is still open for those that didn't prepare. The encouragement of the elders in my life were, Glenn, prepare for the Lord's Supper. I remember I got a little bit carried away one time that I did get bold and stand up, and I started to give this Bible lesson. And one of those elders came to me after and put his arm around me and took me to a seat and said, Glenn, let me talk with you for a second. And I was kind of going, what do I do? He was so gracious. He was so gracious. He said, Glenn, what is the Lord's table all about? What's it for? I said, well, to offer up our thanks to Almighty God. He said, so does it seem right that you presented a sermon to those around you? Wasn't that to the body and not to heavenward? And so I just constantly reflect on that when I stand up to share. I don't want to give a treatise about some nuance of words in the original language. I want to get to the heart of the verses that God's laid in my heart and offer God the offering, and you get to hear and listen to it. Well, perhaps that's sufficient at this point. Well, maybe one other little thing I remember, again, misdirected. It's not a violation of inspiration, but I wanted to share something that God had done for me that week. And again, at the end of it, a very gracious elder would come up alongside me and say, Glenn, we love hearing about what God's doing in your life. We love hearing how he solved a problem. What was the reason for the Lord's Supper? It was to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he just gently reminded me, there are times and places to be able to share a testimony. But if it's a testimony that lifts up to God, by all means. But if it's a testimony just to share information with others, maybe think about it a little bit. You have not sinned, but think about what this supper is all about. Brothers and sisters, again, for me, this is one of the most precious services that we in the Assembly Movement hold. This is the opportunity for us to come for a few minutes on a weekly basis and say, God, you have done all things well. The Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. And he became obedient unto death for us. Praise you, God. Thanks be to God. That needs to be our focus. We do it on a Sunday basis, but it says as often as you eat. It's nothing to say that you can't do it more often. Maybe that's something that in the Assembly Movement we can encourage also. I don't know. We'll see where that one goes. But I'm so thankful that on a Sunday by Sunday basis, I come for a little while to say, thank you, God. And it reminds me of this great salvation that he has given for us. Our God and Father, we've just considered again this very simple ceremony, this very simple memorial that you instituted the night that you were going to be betrayed and moved towards the cross. And it is a reminder to us. I pray that it would remain precious in our hearts, that we would not forget the purpose of it. And we realize that there are aspects that are unique to the Assembly Movement, but praise God for those because they are so precious. We pray that it would be a moment of being able to be encouraging to us to both share, but also to bask in the offerings given to you. Because the Lord Jesus Christ indeed has done all things well. And we wish to bring glory and honor to you, the Father, and to the Son for this great salvation. I ask for your blessing in our time now and for the treat. We thank you for your blessings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.